Well, let's turn now to Alan Burson. He's former assistant secretary in the Office of Policy for the Department of Homeland Security. And in 2010 to 2011, he served as commissioner of U.S. Customs and Border Protection. Alan Burson, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you so much.
Well, first of all, as you know, just this weekend, DHS Secretary Nielsen tweeted that, quote, "We do not have a policy of separating families at the border, period." Now, technically speaking, this is true, right? The Trump administration's policy is not about children. It's about a zero tolerance policy regarding their parents, which results in the separation of parents and children. So technically speaking, it's true, but it's utterly misleading. So here's what I want to do. I actually want to play a bit of tape for you from what Secretary Nielsen said just this morning. She was speaking at the National Sheriffs Association conference, and here's what she said.
To a select few in the media, Congress, and the advocacy community, I'd like to start with a message for you. This department will no longer stand by and watch you attack law enforcement for enforcing the laws passed by Congress. We will not apologize. We will not apologize for the job we do or for the job law enforcement does for doing the job that the American people expect us to do.
Now, Alan Burson, you served in this department. What's your response to what she's been saying?
Whenever you enforce laws like border security or legal or illegal entry into the country, you have to make decisions as to which cases you are going to prosecute. While it might satisfy some to think that every law violation can be brought to justice, in fact, the facts are to the contrary. Every law enforcement official, whether a police officer or a prosecutor, must make judgments about where to allocate resources and bring cases to the courts. So when the Trump administration says that it is going to prosecute every illegal entrant, you're talking about more than 300,000 cases. The federal criminal justice system is simply incapable of managing that caseload. The point here is actually to develop a deterrent, but to do it in a way that is both effective and consistent with our values. And there are ways to do that that, frankly, were not pursued in the Obama administration and could be pursued here. But contrary to moving toward so-called safe third country agreements where process for asylum claims could be held outside the United States. In fact, we go to deterrence such as zero tolerance prosecution, which is at end a bluff because it simply can't be done.
So you're saying that it's not a deterrent at all or an effective one?
Not over any reasonable time frame. In the short term, there's no question that the word will go back to the sending countries, to the communities in Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador that there are cases being brought. But if you look at the situation in the border districts now, from California to Texas, Arizona, and New Mexico, you'll find that the courts cannot handle the caseload, nor can the U.S. attorney's offices that are charged with doing so.
Mm. So just for clarity's sake, because one of the big problems we have right now is confusing information or outright misinformation. In the Obama administration, when families or parents and children crossed the border either seeking asylum or without documentation and were apprehended by Customs and Border Protection, what happened to them? Were they separated or not?
They were not being separated. If they came as a family unit, they remained as a family unit. The difficulty was that the courts had ruled that families could not be detained for longer than 21 days. And that led Secretary Johnson, I think, correctly to say, well, if we can only hold families for 21 days and the asylum claims will take years to adjudicate, then, in fact, we will release families into the general population and give them a notice to appear at a hearing that, because of the backlogged immigration court system, would often take place 2, 3, and even 4 years in the future. That is not a deterrent. But in fact, was used by smugglers to encourage people to come to the southwest border and claim asylum, because the treatment awaiting the adjudication of their claims in immigration court was, in effect, entry into the United States for a temporary period. That's what I think is being responded to in what strikes me as a completely unbalanced way by the Trump administration. There are ways to create a deterrent that are consistent with our values and with the rule of law. We haven't even begun to explore that. We didn't do that in the Obama administration, and it's certainly not being done in the Trump administration.
I see. Now, okay, so regarding this request for asylum, Secretary Nielsen tweeted this weekend that, you know, she said, migrants don't even have to cross the border or cross through ports of entry, that they can request asylum from the United States, but not have to be in the United States. Is that true? How would that work?
Yes, this is. But at the same time, the secretary and this administration, nor did the Obama administration, provide the safe zones in the countries where people claim that they are being persecuted, so that they could make their claim, but do so in protected circumstances. But there's no question that persons outside the United States can claim refugee status, which is tantamount to a claim of asylum. What we haven't done is actually create the conditions abroad that would permit people to claim asylum, have them those claims adjudicated in a realistic period. And if we could do that, frankly, we would be discouraging those who do not have valid claims from making them. And we would avoid the spectacle of what we're now seeing at the southwest border, which is a bluff about prosecuting every illegal entry and a violation of our values by separating children from parents who are being prosecuted for illegal entry. All of this is going to have a short-term effect. But over any conception of the midterm or long term will fall of its own weight.
So here's the thing I hear you saying, that we have had a cascade of failures across administrations in managing migration across the southern border. I think there's actually a pretty universal agreement on that. But we've also arrived at a place where the current administration is adopting a posture that's led to something that many people see as an utter moral catastrophe on the U.S.-Mexico border. I mean, how do we manage our way through this? How do we solve this problem?
So the notion of cascading failure across administrations needs to be put in context, so that the number of people crossing illegally or trying to cross illegally into the United States is at a four-decade low figure. In 2000, 1.6 million migrants were apprehended trying to cross into the country illegally. As a result of the efforts of the Clinton administration before that year, and the Bush administration and the Obama administrations afterwards, that number, on account of investments in border security, has fallen 75%. So in context, it's hard to say that the border is less secure than it was a generation ago. To the contrary, it's much more secure. The difficulty is that in a situation where the zero tolerance notion that the illegal entry of one person is unacceptable, in effect calling for the sealing of American borders akin to the Berlin Wall of the 1960s and 70s and 80s, we begin to see unrealistic projections placed on the men and women who are doing a magnificent job of securing the border. Even though the numbers are the lowest in four decades, we see this this obsession with stopping every last person crossing into the country unlawfully. That is not only unrealistic, but it's inconsistent with who we are as a people.
That's Alan Burson. He's former commissioner of U.S. Customs and Border Protection. He served in that position in 2010 and 2011. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Well, at the heart of this question is an issue, or maybe even a deeper question, and that is, what are our values and how do we comport ourselves as a nation in accordance with our values when it comes to this terrible issue of immigration and how it's being handled at the border? So I want to hear from one more person on this. Father James Martin, he's a Jesuit priest and editor-at-large at America, the Jesuit Review. Father Martin, welcome to Radio Boston.
My pleasure.
So you know that Attorney General Jeff Sessions has basically said it's biblical, what he's doing, in accordance with the laws of the Bible. You call it something else. What do you call it?
I would say it's obscene to use the Bible to justify sin. I mean, anyone who reads the Bible can see that the whole thrust of the Old Testament and the New Testament when it comes to migrants and refugees and the stranger is to welcome them. So I really thought that was appalling. And I also thought that the press secretary, Sarah Huckabee Sanders' use of the word biblical in this was also equally appalling.
I want to ask you specifically about a tweet that you just put out earlier today. I mean, you say the deliberate and unnecessary separation of innocent children from their parents is pure evil. That's a strong word to use.
Well, it is, and I don't use that lightly. It's evil. I mean, we can see the effects of these decisions. I mean, misery, suffering, physical suffering, despair, division in the nation. And I think that, you know, we need to sort of be clear about what these things are. You know, there's a reason why people are feeling so appalled by this, and that, you know, I would say as a religious person, is your conscience speaking, and our conscience enables us and requires us to identify evil and to fight against it when we see it and to be very clear about naming it when it happens.
This brings me back, though, to what you were saying a second ago about Attorney General Sessions. I mean, he was pointing to the Apostle Paul, right? And he said last week that, you know, he cited Romans 13 about obey the laws of the government because God has ordained the government for his purposes. There are many people who might agree with him on that.
I'm sure there are many people that would agree with him and would cherry pick verses like that. But, you know, the whole thrust of Paul is that God's law supersedes every other law. And, you know, Jesus's message in the Gospels is very clear. He says we'll be judged on how we treat the stranger, and how we treat the stranger is how we treat him. So to cherry pick a verse like that to defend ripping children from their parents and causing suffering, I think is also obscene, in my word. So I was really disgusted by that.
So in the last 30 seconds that we have then, Father Martin, I mean, putting the politicians aside for a moment, I am thinking about the folks who agree with what the administration is doing right now, who are people of faith as well. What would you tell them?
I would tell them to read Matthew 25 and to remember that when you're treating the stranger this way, you're treating Jesus this way. And, you know, you better get ready to be judged for your actions.
Well, that's Father James Martin. He's a Jesuit priest and editor-at-large at America, the Jesuit Review. Father Martin, thank you so very much.
My pleasure.
We'll be back. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.